Welcome to the Send Relief Podcast, where our goal is to equip every church to serve its community with gospel-centered mercy and compassion ministry.
Hi, I'm Greg Tiefertiller, Marketing Director for Send Relief, and welcome to this special series of podcasts as we recognize the month of May as Foster Care Awareness Month. Foster care is a complex issue, and we know that not everyone has the same understanding or awareness of the issues that face our nation. It's complex, it's messy, but unfortunately, we often overlook the issue. So we've partnered with some close friends, experts in foster care, to share insights and experiences and to provide practical instructions on how to share the love of Jesus with children and families who are waiting for you. Whether you're a pastor, ministry leader, or a follower of Jesus, this is for you. And now, today's conversation. Well, thank you for joining us today on today's podcast, and I'm pleased to have with me today Mary Vincent, who's the Vice President of Programs at the United Methodist Children's Home, and she is focused on providing executive leadership and oversight in foster care, family housing, transitional living, and independent living programs, and has been with the Children's Home since 2005 when she joined as a foster care worker. So you were a social worker before you jumped into leadership. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So we're going to focus on a conversation today on a topic that I think is somewhat misunderstood and probably just we overlook it as an opportunity to serve young people. We're going to use that term today, young people. We're not talking about kids today, children per se. So we're going to be talking today about young people who have aged out of the system. It's a term that we use conversationally all the time, but maybe that we've overlooked as an opportunity to serve. And I've got these statistics that in 2016, it says that 17,000 young people aged out of the system. In other words, the states failed to place them in any permanent home, whether that be adoption, a family member, or reuniting them with their biological parents. And so 17,000 young people aged out of foster care. They were too old to remain in the system. Another statistic that says of the 428,000, that estimated number of children in foster care, more than 22,000 had case goals of emancipation, meaning that it was actually part of the plan for them as they entered into foster care to actually age out of the system, if you will. And then it says youth who age out of foster care are less likely than youth in the general population to graduate from high school and are less likely to attend or graduate from college. Now, these numbers are staggering. It says by age 26, approximately 80% of young people who aged out of foster care earned at least a high school degree or GED compared to 94% of the general population. So there's a pretty big margin there. And then finally, by age 26, only 4% of youth who aged out of the system had earned a four-year college degree, while 36% of youth in the general population had done that. That's a staggering difference, the difference between those who are in the general population, 36% who graduate from college versus 4% of those who have been in foster care and aged out. So those are big numbers, Mary.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How do we begin to understand how someone who is 18 years old, 18 to 21 years old, moves from the foster care system and quote unquote ages out?
Yeah. So in Georgia, just to talk about kind of how our system is, and it varies state to state. So in Georgia, a young person upon turning 18 remains in care until they're 21 unless they choose to opt out. A couple years ago, it was different. It was once they turned 18, they were considered out of care unless they actually sign themselves back in. And so Georgia's laws have changed to really try to be more supportive of these young people in care. And so the process in terms of aging out really happens at 21. If they have remained in care that day that they turn 21, they're actually released out of the system, out of the DFAC system is what we call it. So there are programs, some of which we offer. We offer a transitional living program, and we offer an independent living program that really comes alongside these young people, meets them where they are coming into our care, and helps to create a very individualized plan for them as they continue on this journey towards independence. And so we really want to create a sense of normalcy for them. They have been in care, and sometimes that's not really been a part of their plan in terms of creating a normal environment for someone to try new things, to be working and to be going off to college, and just creating a normal environment for them. And so we provide those services. We provide housing and support services to help them through that.
So what happens if they don't have someone to come alongside them? I mean, they're again, the system has changed. Some of the, even though Georgia has its unique requirements and or opportunities, but state to state, it's a little bit different, but I'm sure there's some commonalities. But what if they don't have someone who comes alongside them, not just as an agency, but the opportunities for the church? What if, are they on their own?
Ultimately, yes. So some of the statistics you read earlier, homelessness is a reality for some of these young people that leave care that don't have not only the agency, but relationships with people, relationships that are lifelong, lasting relationships. That's huge for these young people to prevent some of those things. And so homelessness is a harsh reality that often they're facing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're ultimately trying to give them incremental responsibility. You're trying to help them transition, give them the tools, the life tools, if you will, that they need to be independent and to succeed on their own, right?
Right. So we help them with achieving some life skills that they may not have developed along the way, along their time in care. Educational stability is huge. Kids that have been in the system are often, for an extended period of time, have been moved around quite a bit, not only where they live, but their schools. And every time they move schools, a statistic, they lose a significant amount of time, which creates gaps in their education. And so sometimes they'll come to us 17, 18 years old, and they're really at a 10th grade level educationally. And so that's a huge gap that we try to really zero in on with them.
And there's financial responsibility and just,
absolutely,
again, just the life skills of trying to acclimate to being independent. I'm sure it's all part of a big transition.
It is. Yeah. I mean, just even the day-to-day stuff, grocery shopping, laundry, the stuff that you kind of learn as a lot of us learn in our homes, just by having a good model. But so we're teaching them some of those skills, but also finding a job, assisting them with public transportation and how to navigate that whole system in our community. And so it's, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, the rest of us at 16 wanted a driver's license. I bet a lot of them have not even come to the point where they have that degree of independence to be able to drive. And so transportation is a big deal.
Right. And the system, you know, kind of creates some barriers with that. But with sort of creating this normalcy for them, we are able to, if that is one of their goals or desires, to do that, to help them along that path. A lot of it is just getting them an ID, a state ID.
Oh, right.
And so that's a first step.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about foster care in general, we talk about the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal, ideally, is reunification with the family. And it's not always possible. But that's the ideal. And so here we are now talking about a young person who's 18 to 21 years old. What happened?
Right. So the need for care and services for this age group ultimately reflects on us as a system that we need to do a better job, that we failed them to some degree. But with that, at the same time, create some opportunity, right? So, but their journey has looked, it's quite different for all of our young people. Some are coming from what you just described, that they've been in the system for years. They have had plans of reunification that didn't work out with their family. They've had plans of adoption that fell through, that so several failures in terms of relationships with them that they've experienced. Some of our youth have come to us a little bit later in their teenage years and have had experience with multiple family breakdowns that brought them into the system. And so it does look different for every young person, but a lot of them have had multiple placements, lots of periods of educational instability. And just really the common theme is really multiple different types of relationships. In terms of failed relationships that they see that as. So with that, we see a huge opportunity to really connect with them.
Yeah, we talk about foster care being messy. And now you're at this age, at this point in your maturity, and maybe we start to see some of the implications, right? Some of the carryover of some of that messiness. And so now here they are, 18 years old, and we have an opportunity. We've had an opportunity. But now we have another opportunity, a second chance, I guess you could say, in some regard, for us to come alongside these young people and to equip them with those skills. And that could be maybe the greatest opportunity we've had for some churches who have looked at foster care and said, wow, you know, that's complex, that's messy, we're not there yet, we don't have the resources, we just don't have people called to it, maybe in some way, shape, or form. Now there's an opportunity to come alongside them really like adults and treat them like adults and train them like adults, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So recently we had a young person where for one reason or another, the high school setting he was in, it was just, it was not working. He was very well liked by the team at the school and they were very supportive, but it just wasn't going to be a successful place for him. And so we worked with a wonderful volunteer and we got him into a GED program where he finishes GED in 2 months. But that volunteer, that tutor, was really essential in getting that done. Those types of volunteers are super important in some of these young people's lives. And so there's tremendous opportunity in terms of ways that churches can connect with people from a volunteer perspective, mentoring our young people. Again, it's about relationship. We talk about this concept of aging out, but really no one should ever have to age out of anything. You know, relationships should be lifelong. That's something that we really strive for. And so churches can be involved in your local community. There are agencies that actually specialize in matching mentors with this particular population. We work with an agency here locally, Connections Homes, that does a tremendous job at doing that. But if you're in a community where you may not know about that, there are young people in your community in this situation that we're talking about here that are in programs like ours that you can go directly there and help volunteer and support those young people. And a lot of people in the community have tremendous talents. They are business people, entrepreneurs. They have a skill that they could share with young people. We frequently bring in community members and church members to come in and share their successes and how they've been successful starting their businesses, small businesses, or if they have their tremendous financial planners. We have people come in and talk about budgeting. Budgeting is super important for our young people to learn about. And so bringing skills into them. Additionally, our young people have trouble getting employment. And so sometimes they need a coach to help them through that. So
what are some of the things that the church should be mindful of? So there's a story behind every young person. And we typically don't know those stories. We don't know everything that they've dealt with. We don't know the trauma that they've experienced. And here they are at a point where they've aged out of the system. So they didn't have permanency. They didn't have necessarily a loving family that was consistently investing in them. And so they come to this point now where there's a degree of independence that is expected. It might not be realistic. And yet the church comes alongside and says, hey, we're going to respond. We want to help. We want to be part of their lives. We want to invest in them. Again, it's not transactional. I think that could be detrimental, right, for those who come into their lives but then don't sustain it. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's important for people to know that they need to be listened to. Not only have they had what you just talked about, experienced trauma from their families or under various circumstances, but they've come through the system where sometimes our young people tell us, I feel like the mute button has been on and I don't have a voice in my own plan. And so really giving them opportunities to talk to you and really hear their side of things and what they desire and what their goals are, and really being able to to help to step in and be on their journey and help starting to rewrite their story. And so, but their voice is so important, and really just being able to listen. Sometimes we see young people reach this point in their journey, and they've had so many different relationships with people along the way that have been in and out of their lives that they might be hesitant. And so really being patient with how a relationship with a young person develops. It may not be the communication that you might be used to with someone else in your life, you know, and just really trying to understand and listen to what they're telling you, maybe through what their voice is telling you, but also just being approaching it from a very open perspective of that. So
it's loving them. I mean, at the base of it all, it's loving them and building, helping them rebuild trust, helping them rebuild relationship in a way that they could see that what they've experienced maybe for 18 to 21 years is not necessarily the way it was designed to be. And we get the privilege of coming alongside them and being that, arguably that foster parent, if you will, that continues. You mentioned earlier that relationships weren't meant to stop at 18. So it's something that we can come alongside them and be something at this time in their lives that looks a little bit different, feels a little bit different. The investment is different, but it helps them take next steps in their lives. And whether it's through a transitional model where they've where you've been helping them through that process,
right,
or it's one where it's more independent and they are maybe well suited for that. But I can only think of hiring them. If I own a business or if I'm in a hiring position, giving them opportunity, is that definitely a next step that someone could give them if they have that ability?
Yeah, we work with a few companies that want to hire our youth. I mean, anyone that's ever searched for a job knows that it's really about who you know. And so a lot of our youth don't, and young people don't know a lot of people in the community that could offer them those opportunities. And so if you are a business owner or the hiring person at a company, really opening your doors and considering hiring and giving young people the opportunity for employment.
You said this a minute ago, but I think this is the crux of everything we're talking about, is we have an opportunity to help rewrite their story.
Mm-hmm.
The story of the past is in many cases not the prettiest of stories,
right,
but that's what they have and it's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this opportunity by investing in them as the church and coming alongside them, both in practical ways and sharing our faith with them and investing in them spiritually, and not only seeing how they can trust a person, but that they can trust a God of grace,
absolutely,
and of love and of mercy, and who does care for them. And care sometimes seems like a word that in their lives is probably missing. Does anyone care? But they're missing hope. I think a lot of them have never had at least a sustained hope. And now we get to introduce to them what real hope looks like.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So rewrite their story. Be part of rewriting their story. What a great opportunity for any church to step into the relationship of a young person who has now come to the point of aging out. And relationships don't age out. And opportunities are created that we can invest in the lives of these 18 to 21 year olds and help them take next steps to building a life of independence, but also dependence on the Lord, and a place where they can be reintroduced into what a trusting, loving relationship looks like. We have that opportunity. And for a church that may or may not be involved in foster care in any other capacity, this is a way that you can be involved. You can develop a mentoring program, a tutoring program, business skills, I can imagine computer skills, and giving them the talents and the skill sets that they need in order to move forward, but also investing in them relationally. I can only imagine how those lifelong mentoring relationships might look 10, 20, 30 years down the road as they look back into their story and how someone invested in them and ultimately changed their lives. We want to help you do that. At CinderLeaf, we invite you to go to cinderleaf.org/fostercare. And you'll find some resources and some contact abilities to connect with us so that we can help you. If that is something that you're interested in as a church or an individual, whether you're a pastor who says, hey, we need to invest in the lives of these youth, then we want to connect with you and help you do that. So again, go to cinderleaf.org/fostercare, and we look forward to helping you connect with these young people.
Thank you for listening to the Send Relief Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast, visit our website at namb.net forward slash send relief.